This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All righty, rocking and rolling. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, recently, we've seen some young quarterbacks, when they get their opportunity, take the league by storm. And I think for a while, there was this feeling of sit a quarterback for a year, and then you play him. Now, in some instances, it could work. Like Patrick Mahomes sat a year. Then first year as a starter, threw 50 passing touchdowns and lost to the great Tom Brady in an AFC championship game. Lamar Jackson, he didn't sit the entirety of the first year because if you recall, he sat for like halfway through the first season, played a little bit at the end of the season, was the starter. You had the Ravens playoff game in Baltimore up against the Chargers where he did not have a good playoff game, but John Harbaugh stuck with him as the fans were chanting for Joe Flacco because they wanted elite Joe Flacco. They wanted him on the field, but John Harbaugh knew that Lamar's my future, so I'm not going to pull him out of this game. And ultimately, the following season, Lamar, first year as the full-time starting quarterback, won a unanimous league MVP. Joe Burrow, his first year, he got hurt. But then the first full season he was able to play, we saw that Cincinnati Bengals team go to a Super Bowl. And last year, C.J. Stroud, the turnaround the Texans made in year one was just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Where C.J. Stroud had probably the greatest rookie season I've ever seen. Like, you go back to, I said this before, Puka Nacua, and maybe like any other year in the history of the NFL with what he did, could have won Rookie of the Year and probably should have won Rookie of the Year. But C.J. Stroud was that great. Like, if I would have told you a rookie wide receiver before the start of last season would have had 105 catches, 1,486 yards, and 6 receiving touchdowns, you would say Rookie of the Year. Like right now, if I told you Marvin Harrison Jr. or Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers had that production, you would think that would be the Rookie of the Year. But C.J. Stroud was just ridiculous and took a team that were perennial losers, took a team that didn't really have much of a foundation, and they got the right quarterback, and it inspired that entire locker room to not only win the division, but then to make the playoffs and win a playoff game where they ended up losing in the second round. You know, Andrew Luck, you want to look back at his rookie season too. Took over a 2-win team first year, made the playoffs with a roster that I don't even think most people could name 5 players from that year one Andrew Luck roster. So there are quarterbacks that when given the opportunity, whether they have to wait a year or they get thrown into the fire right away, they hit the ground running and you see an immediate change. And you look at the 6 first-round quarterbacks from this past year, Caleb Williams has a chance to make the playoffs. You know, Jaden Daniels is in a better situation than what people think because you have Jahan Dotson. More importantly, you have Terry McLaurin. But that Commanders team, I don't think they're a playoff team this year. You then take a glance at Drake May. Drake May probably shouldn't be playing until November at the absolute earliest. And that Patriot team is not a playoff team. You get to the other 3 first-round quarterbacks. Okay, Michael Penix Jr., he'll probably be in the postseason, but as the backup quarterback, barring an injury to Kirk Cousins. Or If Kirk Cousins is rusty coming off that Achilles, maybe you start to get the Michael Penix Jr. chance, which would be crazy. That's going to be a great storyline to follow all throughout the year. When the schedule comes out, and that's got to be soon. Like, usually the schedule's released like May 11th, late May 12th, something like that. We don't have a schedule date. I want to see what the first four games are for the Atlanta Falcons. And if I'm scheduling the entirety of the league schedule, I'm giving the Falcons four tough games. I'm giving them four games. You know, maybe throw one cupcake in there. Maybe like one lighter opponent. But I'm throwing three out of those four as really tough games. Because how fun would that be? It's crazy that we even have to have this discussion. When you just gave a guy a four-year contract with $100 million guaranteed. But when will the... Can I get a line on when the over-under will be that there is a first serious push for Michael Penix Jr. to usurp Kirk Cousins as the starting quarterback in the ATL? I would love to know when we are sitting here in the fall or even in the winter, and the first time I have to get behind this microphone and do the topic of should the Falcons move off of Kirk Cousins and put Michael Penix Jr. in there. And here's the thing that gets lost in the shuffle. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Notice what I said, good quarterback. Not great, not elite, not a star, but there are a lot of teams that would like to have the production in the regular season that Kirk Cousins has had in his NFL career. And I think a lot of people believe, like I was pumping up the Falcons before this draft. Oh, you know, they're going to get the eighth overall pick and they're going to add a star wide receiver like a Roma Dunze. They're going to add a necessary defensive piece. I never thought that they were going to add a quarterback, let alone in the first round. It was wild. And I was saying they're a dark horse team to get to an NFC championship game because I thought that number eight pick would have been big and instrumental in this team's success. Now I'm like looking at Atlanta, and there's that elephant in the room. When is Kirk Cousins, regardless of the contract, going to get called to have his ass be on the bench? And I can't wait. You know, let me see the Falcons schedule real quickly. Falcons, Stu, you have the Falcons opponents?
I do, yeah.
Give me the Falcons opponents this year. Go ahead.
All right, home, Cowboys, Giants, Chiefs, Chargers, Seahawks, and Steelers.
Okay.
And on the road, they have the Broncos, Raiders, Eagles, Commanders, Vikings.
Open up that season with the Eagles going to Philly. Then go home against Kansas City. Then let's go another home game against Los Angeles. Let's do the Chargers. And then, okay. Let's see, who's the worst away team there? Do a divisional team, like the Panthers. A team that could probably improve this year, should improve this year, but no one's going to be intimidated by the Carolina Panthers. Give me a schedule like that. Eagles early, Chiefs early, Chargers early. Have them sitting at like 1-3. Because if they start the year 1-3, you know, people in Atlanta are going to say, we have this NFL-ready quarterback, and Michael Penix Jr., he's the eighth overall pick. Where if they would have drafted someone at eight, even though I don't think they should have, that was a year or two away, it would have been an easier sell job. But Michael Penix Jr. is ready. And then you get to J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy can make the playoffs in year one because of that situation in Minnesota. You know, Charles Davis telling us yesterday that he didn't believe this, but he said some have told him that they think Sam Darnold should still be or could still be the starting quarterback day one. Oh, boy. If that's the case, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell, you need to come in studio. And I need to explain to you the career of Sam Darnold. To remember for two things. Seeing ghosts and getting mono. Okay? There's no reason when you take a quarterback in the top 10 that's NFL ready, even if you don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be great, that J.J. McCarthy isn't starting week one for the Minnesota Vikings. And then, Bo Nix with the Broncos. Whew. I do not like that pick. And it's nothing really against Bo Nix. It's more so that the Broncos thought they had to take a quarterback and they had to reach for a quarterback at 12. And Sean fell in love with Bo Nix. I know that, right, Sean with the Panthers or with the Saints all those years, and Terry Fontenot was also with the Saints all those years. I was reading a piece. It was by Albert Breer. It was very good. And they talked about being in that Saints war room when the Saints had Drew Brees. And they were all eyeing Patrick Mahomes, and they thought they were going to get the steal of the draft in Patrick Mahomes. And then the Chiefs traded up, and the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes. And I guess this is why Terry Fontenot kept it so close to the vest, that there were so many people that knew, at least in the Chiefs building, that the Saints wanted Mahomes in the draft, that someone from the Chiefs war room texted someone in the Saints war room and said, hey, we got him. So how about that story, that nugget from Albert Breer? So I think Fontenot said, I don't want to get jumped, or I don't want to lose my guy, Michael Penix Jr., who he fell in love with, and I don't want to lose him. So even though it's not going to be a popular decision because we just gave a quarterback $100 million, that had to factor into it. And Sean Payton fell in love with Bo Nix, and now he's his guy. But the Broncos roster, it is ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. At least on that offensive side of the ball. A better offensive line than you'd think. But everyone else, man, it is a brutal situation for a quarterback that's going to play right away to walk into. So year one, I have high expectations for Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels, I think individually will have a good season, but the team won't be great. Drake May, see you in November. You take a look at Michael Penix Jr. In an ideal world, he shouldn't see the field in year one because Kirk Cousins should be worth the investment, but let's see how the schedule plays on out. J.J. McCarthy should hit the ground running. And Bo Nix, I think it's going to be a struggle, and I hope they just don't ruin him early. Because James Palmer joined us the other day, and he said the comparison for Bo Nix that offensive coordinators told him was a more mobile Derek Carr. That's not reaching for the stars. You know, Derek Carr is a fine, solid quarterback, but I don't think there's a lot of fan bases that are saying, yeah, I want Derek Carr being the starting quarterback of my team. Okay. We will get to Trevor Lane, the host of Lakers Nation, coming up in about 10 minutes. Kevin Durant, not in the second round of the playoffs. LeBron James, not in the second round of the playoffs. Those have been two of the bigger faces in the NBA for well over a decade, pretty much the last 20 years. So when we look players that are 30 and under, or excuse me, under 30 years old, so 29 and under, who are the five future faces of the NBA? And I have a list of five here, in no order. Luka Doncic, I don't really need to give you an explanation, just watch him play basketball. Giannis Antetokounmpo, already a multiple-time MVP, he's an NBA champion. Nikola Jokic, still 29 or younger, multiple-time MVP, NBA champion, could be a two-time NBA champion after this postseason. Victor Wembanyama, he's an alien. And then it's Anthony Edwards. I look at those five guys, though. One stands out compared to the rest of the other group of people. And that's Anthony Edwards. Now, Anthony Edwards doesn't have an MVP. Anthony Edwards doesn't have an NBA championship. We know Nikola Jokic has two NBA MVPs and a championship. Giannis has two NBA MVPs and a championship. Victor Wembanyama is going to win Rookie of the Year. And Luka Doncic is a guy that can win an MVP in future years. Doesn't have an NBA championship or an MVP right now. Anthony Edwards, though, has the big personality. Like, Nikola Jokic, as great as he is, his play speaks for itself. He doesn't have the personality. He doesn't want to be the star. When the offseason ends, he just wants to go home and ride his horses. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't think he embraces the stardom. Victor Wembanyama, I think we got to learn more about Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama seemed like a fictional character until I got to see him in New York City at the draft. It's kind of similarly to Shohei Ohtani. You hear so much about someone, and then you get to see them play, and it's like, wow, it's as good as advertised. And we know Luka Doncic, he has a little bit of a personality, but it's not an overwhelming personality. Anthony Edwards, he'll kill you on the court, and then off the court, he has such an exuberant personality, and he loves just being that star and having that killer mentality on a basketball court. And I think the future for Anthony Edwards, really the sky, is the limit. Now, some honorable mentions. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we know how great he is as a player. I think through this run, it's going to help increase his brand even more. Jason Tatum is someone that you've seen him a lot, right? He's a top 10 player in the league, has been to an NBA Finals. We know is the face of the Celtics, you know, has the great relationship with his son, Deuce Tatum. He's someone that's lurking right there. We know he's not going anywhere, but future face of the league. We got to go see him win a championship. And here's one that I'll give credit to Bill Reiter's producer, Tom DeSalesino, because we're throwing this around the newsroom. This is a name that I think people have forgot about. But if he could figure out what's going on off the court and then also stay healthy, Ja Morant was right there on the precipice of becoming a major NBA star. Because you look at what he could do with his thunderous slams and his ability as a guard in the NBA, it's really special. But the problem is he's got himself in a lot of trouble, and then when coming back from getting himself in trouble, unfortunately, he did get injured. So right now, guys 29 or under in the NBA, the future faces of the NBA, the five that I have in the order, Joker, Greek Freak, Victor Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, and Luka Doncic. It is the Zach Gelb Show, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We will take a timeout. Did LeBron James play his last game as a Laker? Is LeBron James going to retire? Is Bronny going to be on the Lakers next year? Darvin Ham, we all think he's gone, but is there a chance that he returns? We tap into Laker Nation with the host of Lakers Nation. That is a long-time man that has covered the NBA in Trevor Lane. He will join us on the other side. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, we know the Lakers are now out of the postseason after Jamal Murray said goodbye to them last night with that great game-winning shot. Denver advances on to round two, the defending champions, so they'll go up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now it's all about the future of LeBron James. It's all about the future of the Los Angeles Lakers. So we'll chat it up right now with the host of Lakers Nation, and that is Trevor Lane, always kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Trevor, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for doing this today, and how you been?
Zach, thank you so much for having me. A bit better. Would have been nice if the Lakers had extended this series at least. But we've got a busy offseason ahead. And that LeBron question, oh boy, that's going to be a big one hanging over the Lakers this summer.
In the moment last night when they lose the game, did you feel like that was the final game that LeBron James has played in a Lakers uniform?
No. I didn't. I think he stays. I think he likes it in LA. I think he trusts the organization. I think he's going to put pressure on them to make changes. That's for sure, especially when they've got future draft picks to trade. But I didn't get the sense that it was done. We didn't even get the comments that we got last year from LeBron, where it sounded like he was seriously considering retiring that offseason. I think he is going to play at least a couple more years. And I don't think we've seen the last of him in purple and gold at this point.
What's the plan? Because I agree with you. I think LeBron is going to be back next season. You hear the Trae Young speculation. We've all seen the Shams piece that they're open to the idea of drafting Bronny James. How do they improve this team significantly to get them back to competing for a championship next year?
Well, there's really two paths they can go down. They do have those three first-round picks. I believe LeBron will expect them to use those picks that they have available in trade to try to improve this team. But you can either go big star hunting, right? You go after a Trae Young, somebody like that, or you go the other route. This is the route the Lakers essentially went last season, where they start adding on complementary pieces, guys who maybe fit a little bit better than the ones they had this year. They hope for better help, maybe a change at the head coach spot. I'm sure we'll talk about that as well. But when we're looking at these two paths the Lakers can go down, historically, they've gone after the stars. I don't know that that's going to be the best path for them, but if Trae Young is available, I'm sure they will be involved in those discussions. But that's essentially what they're going to have sitting in front of them. Do you want to build completely around LeBron and AD, or do you want to go after that third star? Even though we saw it really not work out when they went and got Russell Westbrook, maybe they believe a Trae Young or somebody like that could work this time.
So talking to Trevor Lane right now. I want to follow up on something that you said. You don't think next year will be LeBron's final season. He'll come back. He'll play a few more years. I led the show today, and this is just my opinion. I think he comes back. They draft Bronny, and then he plays one more year. He'll be 40 years old come December. Why do you feel that LeBron still has a few more years and is going to be willing to want to play a few more years at the NBA?
Well, you look at what he's doing out there on the floor. I think the Bronny piece is part of it. He's talked a lot about wanting to play with Bronny, and that's such an admirable goal to share the floor with his son. That would obviously be very special. But you look at what he's doing on the floor right now. Is he the LeBron of 5 years ago? No, he's not the LeBron of 10 years ago. Certainly, there's moments where he looks his age. There's also a lot of moments where he doesn't, though. And I think right now you can still say he's one of the top players in the NBA. He's not the guy anymore that's just going to automatically guarantee a finals berth just by him being on the team. But he is still one of the best players out there. Probably better than, what, 90% of the NBA, maybe more right now at age 39. So I think he can definitely keep going. It's a matter of the mental side of it. Can he gear himself up to battle through injuries, to train his body, all of that? That's more the question for LeBron. Physically, he can do it, but it seems like he still has the passion for the game. He enjoys being out there, and he enjoys the challenge. So I think he's got at least a year, maybe two left in him, and that's kind of the buzz that's going around right now, that we're probably looking at one or two more years from LeBron. He is playing with Team USA this summer too, so that wear and tear is going to really start adding up, but I don't think we've seen the last of him this season.
Let me get to the Darvin Ham part of it, Trevor Lane, because from afar, people will say, Darvin Ham not expected to come back, according to Shams Charania. Up, here's LeBron again, killing another coach. How do you evaluate the early tenure so far of Darvin Ham, and where are you at with the head coach of the Lakers?
You know, I think that Darvin, I think he's a good guy. I think he's a likable guy. I don't think he's the right coach for this team. I think moving on from him makes a lot of sense. And here's, look, there's a lot of stuff that has come out about certain moments where the players felt like they had to win the game in spite of their coach, where they had to come up with X's and O's plans and schemes and things like that. We could talk about rotation. We could talk about substitution patterns, all kinds of different things, playing favorites with guys he's coached before, all kinds of stuff that's out there. But the bottom line to me with Darvin Ham is he came in with the idea that he was going to be the coach that everybody was going to want to run through a brick wall for, that the players were just going to want to give everything they had for him every single night. And it doesn't seem like that is indeed the case at this point with this Lakers team. So if that isn't there, because we knew coming in, maybe he'd be a little bit weak on the X's and O's and everything. But if he's not getting the buy-in from the players, that's it. It's game over. They have to move on from him. And I think that's what we're going to see. He has 2 years left on his contract, but I think the Lakers are going to be one of the teams on the coaching search this summer. And I think we're going to hear on that probably in the next few days, maybe within a week here, that they are making that decision to move on from Darvin Ham as they kind of take a look back. I don't think they have a choice given what's going on this season.
So just because you fire the coach doesn't mean he's the biggest problem. Like, I look at the roster construction. I just don't think this team is capable of winning a title with the way the roster is constructed. So where does Ham fall for you in when you kind of lay out and kind of order up the blame game here?
Sure, yeah. I think it's he's part of it, and that one of the things this team was supposed to be able to build on was continuity and bringing back the same lineups and rotations from last season. And then he largely went away from those. Not all his fault, because injuries have been a factor, but I think he certainly deserves a large piece of that blame pie. But again, it's not everything. They've dealt with injuries. They had a rough schedule this season. On top of that, you talk about the roster construction. Did your lack of a true backup big to Anthony Davis come back to haunt you? Yes, I think it definitely did in this series against the Denver Nuggets. Your backcourt, having two guys who are offense-first players and not having a defensive backcourt mate for either Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell, that's a challenge. Not having enough two-way players in general, having a lot of guys that are all offense, all defense, and not much in between. The roster construction is an issue. They've had a lot of problems. We talked about the draft pick from last year, too, that not panning out yet with Jalen Hood-Schifino. It's been a lot of things that have come together to create what's been a disappointing season for a Lakers team that had very high aspirations coming in.
If LeBron does leave, like if he says, I'm going to opt out, I'm going to leave the Lakers, who are some teams that you maybe monitor here, Trevor Lane?
Well, definitely keeping an eye on the Philadelphia 76ers. They are ready-made. They're set. They've got all the cap room. They've been hoarding that cap space forever. Come play with Joel Embiid. Come play with Tyrese Maxey. That's the easy landing spot because they can give him the money. He can walk right in, be the third guy. They can add pieces. Daryl Morey is known for being very creative, and off you go. I think Philly would be a really interesting landing spot for him. I know a lot of people have thrown around Golden State. They were sniffing around LeBron at the trade deadline, seeing if the Lakers maybe would be willing to try to make that move. LeBron told them no. The Lakers just referred Golden State to LeBron. Said, talk to LeBron, see if he's even interested in that. And LeBron said, no, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to do that. But maybe his mind changes. I'm sure Golden State will revisit that conversation this summer too. So those are the two teams that I really be keeping an eye on, because the other teams that have cap space, I don't really see as viable options. He can't step in and win. Philly has cap space. He could step in right there and win. And then Golden State could put together an interesting trade, and LeBron and Steph playing together. That would certainly be a sight to see.
I know you think LeBron's going to be back with the Lakers, and I agree with you, but at 100%, like, where do you put that number on the confidence that he'll be back with the Lakers next year?
I'd say 90%. He'll be back. I don't think, if from everything we've heard, even the stuff that's been coming out from Rich Paul today, his agent, it's sounding pretty certain that he's going to be back. It's more a matter of what will the contract look like. And from everything we've heard from the Lakers side too, they're going to give him whatever he wants. What LeBron says, I want a 2-year deal. Here you go. A 3-year deal. There it is. You want max money. You want a player option. You want us to draft Bronny. No problem. Sounds like the Lakers are willing to do whatever it takes to bring him back. I understand their mindset there. So I think he is indeed back. And again, I'd put it at 90%. I think he's back in LA. I don't think he wants to switch teams again, especially when he's spoken so much about family, how important family is to him and spending time with them. Tough for him to do that if he is across the country playing for another team.
Assuming the Ham gets put on the chopping block with Darvin Ham, who's your short list of candidates, Trevor Lane, to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers?
You know, it's tough. There's not a lot of names out there just yet. That list will start to populate as we get further along down this path. But Mike Budenholzer is probably the most accomplished name out there, which is interesting because Darvin Ham is from that coaching tree. So Budenholzer could be an interesting one. JJ Redick's name has popped up, LeBron's podcast co-host. Could he potentially be an option? I know Rajon Rondo's name's been floating around a little bit. There's a few different assistant coaches. I don't know if the Lakers will want to go with the first-time head coach again. All we know is that if the Lakers do decide to move on from Darvin Ham, they are willing to spend in order to get somebody who is a difference maker. There isn't a name that jumps out immediately to me, though, that says that's clearly the guy. That it's not like Eric Spoelstra's out there on the market, but Mike Budenholzer is an early name I'd keep an eye on. Terry Stotts is another one as well that popped up. But I do wonder, are they waiting to see if they can right a wrong and see if the Clippers move on from Ty Lue? The Lakers probably should have just hired Ty Lue 4 years ago or so when they didn't want to give him a 4-year deal, instead limiting him to 3 years. If the Clippers don't get out of the first round and they decide to move on from Ty Lue, I would be surprised if the Lakers weren't picking up that phone too.
And you know, LeBron would love to see that happen. I was still surprised mm-hmm. they weren't willing to go to the years that Ty Lue wanted all those years ago. But hey, the Redick thing, he's a candidate for the Hornets job. He's a finalist now, so maybe that could be in play. But Rondo, what's the intel on that you got?
You know, it's just a name that I've heard around with some buzz. I think most likely what would happen is he would get brought in more as like an assistant coach, something like that, somebody that could learn the ropes. But you know, you look at the 2020 title team and you listen to anything the guys were saying from back then, essentially the offense, Frank Vogel's great defensive coach, right? And the Lakers just said, you handle the defense. The offense, it was Rondo, it was LeBron, it was Anthony Davis. They ran that Lakers offense. Rajon Rondo, known around the NBA as one of the brightest basketball minds we've ever seen. He's going to be a coach at some point. I think it would make more sense to bring him in as an assistant coaching option, but I was hearing this earlier in the year that maybe he was somebody that they would consider taking a look at. We'll see if it actually winds up happening. Again, I think it would be more wise to bring him in as maybe an assistant first and let him grow into that coaching role. But the guy knows basketball in a way that a lot of people do not. And I think if he wants to get involved and he's got everything all set up for himself, he's going to be on a short list of guys to look at.
Last thing I'll ask you, Trevor Lane, the host of Lakers Nation, always does a great job jumping on board with us. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's say that was LeBron's last game with the Lakers. What is the LeBron legacy in LA?
Well, obviously the title in 2020, setting the scoring record, that certainly sets the legacy. And we can't forget, the Lakers were in a very tough spot before LeBron came. They were trying to rebuild. Rebuilding is not familiar territory for them. They're praying that Brandon Ingram becomes a 1A guy, or Lonzo Ball, or D'Angelo Russell, right? That was the team back then. It was those young kids, and they weren't making a whole lot of headway. LeBron comes in, puts the Lakers into a whole new era, and then brings them, while it is just, a lot of people say just one championship, right? But obviously put the Lakers back on the map during his tenure there. Did it go as well as we would have hoped? I know a lot of people were hoping for multiple championships between him and Anthony Davis coming into town, but still getting the one title, putting the Lakers back into relevancy after they were stuck in the dark ages for a bit there. You got to give them a lot of credit for that. So it didn't go as well, certainly, as we would have hoped, but I certainly don't think it could be considered a failure either when he got that championship and he meant what he's meant to this franchise. So if that's it, I still think LeBron's jersey is going to be hanging in the rafters when he does decide to call it quits.
He is Trevor Lane. Trevor, appreciate the time as always. Good deal. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Zach.
You got it. There he is, Trevor Lane. So 90% chance he says LeBron is back with the Lakers, and maybe you monitor Philadelphia and Golden State if he's going elsewhere. I do believe LeBron's back with the Lakers next year. And as I've been saying, I do believe what Shams is saying, that they're going to try their best to go draft Bronny James. But we know the dominoes that need to fall, the drama that all goes along with LeBron too. So I don't expect any official announcement or anything crazy on the LeBron front anytime soon. I think you let the Bronny scenario play out. You keep the intrigue there. And once Bronny gets drafted, wherever he does get drafted, assuming he stays through this process, then you start to figure out where King James is playing next, and I believe it will be back in L.A. where he's been the last few years. All righty, we'll come on back. We'll date you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call it the News Brief. Update time first on the Infinity Sports Network with the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. I just saw the first mention, as this weekend it is the Kentucky Derby. I feel like we have not heard anything about the Kentucky Derby yet. When I first got here to CBS Sports Radio at the time, I know it's now the Infinity Sports Network, but at the time it was CBS Sports Radio, so I'm not giving anybody a quarter for that. Let me be clear. I was taking over for Paul Nanos from the 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time shift, Nanos at night. And when I got there, they said you have to do this segment that Paul Nanos did, which I think eventually DA did. And then it was, does the horse know it's in a race? I've never seen phone lines, weekend overnights, where we're on 300 stations, tons of affiliates, calls, 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 calls. I've never taken more phone calls ever than that night. And then we kind of gave our analysis of it, where I did think the horse knows it's in a race, especially when the horse wins, because then, you know, the horse gets a lot of nookie time. So that's why I think the horse does know. But we are coming up in the Kentucky Derby this weekend, so very much looking forward to that. I feel like that means Friday or Thursday of this week, we do some pucks and ponies. Feels like it's an Eddie Olczyk kind of guess. That's what it feels like later in the week on Thursday and Friday. So getting all set for the Kentucky Derby. I did one time ask Moose, Mark Melusis, when he was hosting here on the network, who I should pick. And he gave me a horse. It was on my brother's bachelor party. And I went to the teller at the Vegas casino. And I thought I put the money on the horse that Moose said, which the horse won, and it was a long shot, like 50-1. I thought I won all this money. But when I went to the teller, I said, I've never placed a horse bet in my life up until that point. Oh, I want to place money in this horse. They go, you have to give me the poll number. So at the time, I went to CBS Sports Radio's website, and they had the poll number. Someone from the company uploaded the wrong poll numbers, the post numbers for the horse. So the number that was on the website through CBS Sports Radio and also CBS Sports was the wrong number of the horse. And I wasn't the only one that got screwed over that way, because I did leave the show bashing the company the next week, and I had a few other people say that they got screwed over from CBS Sports as well. So I ended up going to the blackjack table that night, though, and I won the most money I've ever won playing blackjack. So I made up for what I thought was a winning. I ended up being a losing and then ended up winning. So those are my horse racing knowledge. Maybe we'll have Larry Kalmus on, the voice of the Triple Crown, later in the week. And probably better so, Eddie Olczyk. Anyway, let's get to Michael Malone, the coach of the world champion Denver Nuggets, on Money Murray. Jamal Murray, after he hit another game-winning shot.
For Jamal to add to his playoff lore by having two game winners in a series is just incredible. And the conversation before the game, without getting into too much detail, was an emotional one about him playing tonight. And as he just told me, he goes, "I'm glad I played because I don't know if we win if I don't play tonight." I said, "Well, that's the understatement of the year." The kid's a warrior, man. I can't say enough good things about Jamal Murray. The bigger the moment, the kid just continues to shine. And I'm proud of him. I'm a tough cookie.
And he's so essential to what they do. Big shot after big shot throughout the last few years. And when he's healthy, they've had a chance to win a championship, and they did win that championship a year ago. Let's listen up. This is on TNT. You'll hear Stan Van Gundy. So Jason Tatum got fouled last night and afterward tried to get the shot off. And then Bam Adebayo, I thought this was a dirty play. He tried to prevent the shot, but he didn't allow Jason Tatum to land. And Jason Tatum suffer a little bit of an injury, but they don't think it's a big deal in Boston. But here's Stan Van Gundy on TNT.
All right, Ernie, thank you for that. It's Boston ball here, and we got a foul as Derek White hits the deck. Jason Tatum falls down trying to pick up a foul. I think he may have rolled his ankle as he was going down.
Well, he shot the ball after the foul was called. Horford's upset. He thinks there's extracurricular activity. But look, Tatum decided to shoot the ball, and Bam Adebayo decided to contest the shot all after the foul was called. There's the foul call. It's already over. Tatum's going to shoot it. You're not going to let the guy. Yeah, but there's no. The right. Foul's already been called. You're not going to let the guy just get a warm-up shot to get ready for the next one. I don't think there's anything there.
So if you don't want to let the guy get the shot off, that's one thing. But you can't basically not allow him to land. And that's where I thought it was a dirty decision by Bam Adebayo. Let's go to Bradley Beal. We know the Suns got swept out of the postseason the other night. And Bradley Beal was going to the bench. And there's a lot of thoughts that Frank Vogel could be one and done with the Suns. And he kind of like slapped Coach Vogel's hand away when Vogel was, I guess, trying to give him a fist bump. This is Bradley Beal on the incident.
Yeah, I slapped him hard. I was frustrated with fouls, and I knew I was coming out. It wasn't nothing against Coach. I'm sorry if that probably did look bad, but no, it wasn't. I was more frustrated with myself and being in foul trouble. Like, I knew I was coming out the game. Like, he was doing his job. He was being smart, saving me. Like, it wasn't nothing towards Coach. You know, there's nothing there.
So I want to believe him. And I understand everything gets aggregated now and sometimes doesn't look as the way that it actually appears. But there was that article after the game where multiple players in the locker room thought that Frank Vogel lost the locker room. So if Bradley Beal is one of them, I could see why he wasn't all that thrilled with the coach when he's walking past him. And I kind of buy what he said, but you have to take it with a grain of salt. Let's go to Darvin Ham. Lakers out of the postseason. At least they made it to the fifth game. And I guess Stu then's going to raise a banner for that because they weren't the Suns who got swept. But what does his team need to be successful next year?
What would you point your finger to moving forward that this group needs to get to where it wants to be?
Stay healthy. Stay healthy. You take a lot of flack for your rotations and all of that, but rotations are secondary. The primary is health.
So that was a real quote. Because he talked about the rotations and everything. I know he's got a lot of heat for the rotations. I thought that was just like, oh, aha, gotcha kind of moment on social media. I'm not dismissing the health. The health is a big part. But Stu, even if they were healthy this year, this is not a championship team.
No, they're not better than Denver, even if they're healthy for 82 games plus.
Let's go to Tom Telesco. This is like the Stu hour here. We talk about the Lakers. Then we go to the Raiders general manager. They drafted Brock Bowers, 13th overall. A lot of people thought that they were going to take a quarterback, but at that time, the six quarterbacks that were potentially projected to go in the first round were all off the board. So did Tom Telesco consider a quarterback in the later rounds?
Was there any thought about a quarterback, in these last two?
On the third day? No. Really not in the second day either. First day, yes, but not after that.
That just where the evaluation kind of...
Yeah, I mean, if we felt there was a quarterback out there that was better than what we had or could potentially be better, certainly would have done something about it, but just that didn't line up.
Yeah, I can't really crush someone for not taking a quarterback. Like, you could low risk, high reward, but I'm not going to say, oh, wow, I can't believe that all the Raiders didn't take a quarterback, because once they didn't get one in the first round, you're not just going to draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. Here is the new Bills sensation, Keon Coleman, who has a great personality out of Florida State. I love the game that he had this past year up against Clemson on the message that he received from his new quarterback, Josh Allen, after the draft.
Yeah, he texted me, the day of. I was like, you the guy I wanted. I watched a lot of receivers, and, I won't play with you. And I'm like, I've been saying the same thing. I want to go play with the guy that went number 17. And, he's a great quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the league right now. And, I would love to be catching passes from him. I'm ready for that.
I hope that dude's a star. You may not have heard it in that clip, but there was other clips where it's like, wow, this dude's just a great personality and he's so happy to be there. But you look at that Bills team, we got to see how they look defensively, but on offense, you got enough to contend this year on offense. You got Josh Allen, that's the biggest part. James Cook was really good at the end of last season, throughout the entirety of last season. Dalton Kincaid was worthy of the pick that they did select him, as you saw throughout the year. And now you had Keon Coleman, who I thought should have been a first-round pick, and he ended up going the first pick in the second round. Travis Kelce, new extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City. Let's hear from Samter's favorite player on his new extension.
Back at it again, baby. Woo! I just see a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but no better than right now. Getting fired up for this year. Just got out on the field with the boys. Doggone, we're back at it, baby. Chiefs forever.
So I thought there was a chance that this was going to be Travis Kelce's final season. Now this new deal locks him through 2027. Does he make it to the end of 2027 in the NFL? Does he retire before then? So the 2024 season, 25, 26, that would be four more seasons. I have a tough time seeing Travis Kelce play four more seasons, but you take the more money and the guaranteed money when you can get it, obviously. And even though Travis started to slow down a little bit last year, he still shined in the biggest moments for the Kansas City Chiefs. He got into the league in 2013. I would be surprised if he makes it through the rest of this contract. I think two more years, it feels like, at most, for Travis Kelce. Maybe he goes three more, but that's the thing. You keep on pumping out these championships. You keep on singing, you got to fight for your right to Lombardi. It is addicting, and you want to see how many more that you could fire off with the great Patrick Mahomes. All righty, that is the news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. When we do come on back, I have to play you some LeBron James audio. Also, you will hear from one of LeBron's biggest mouthpieces. That is Windy, Brian Windhorst. What does he say about LeBron James's future? Will LeBron retire? Will LeBron go to another team? Or will LeBron be back in La La Land when the season does start in the fall of 2024? It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. LeBron, 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 and more LeBron next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.